here by invitation, and I want to bless the Lord. And thank you, Pastor Nathan. Last week, Sunday, was at our church at home and ministered to our congregation, and it was awesome. We just, yeah, it's easier to get northerners to come south than it is to get southerners to go north. And so when he was up there, I said, you know what, it would be a shame to not have him come and share with us, and we were very much blessed by that. So thank you for sharing your pastor. And I know a lot of that was with fire in the fields. And glory to God for all of the testimonies of life-changing things that happen. And when you're the one, you know, doing the work a lot of times, and you're planning and you're organizing, and I know, Ben, you put a lot of sweat into these things. But how many lives are changed that you didn't hear anything about yet? Yeah, one day. One day you will hear. So on the front side, I want to say this. My makeup is not one that is as kind and as soft and as loving as the pastor that you are used to. Now, believe me, the Lord's done a tremendous work in transforming my heart already. So what you see now is actually very refined from what it was 30 years ago. So that's a miracle in itself. You're lucky if you didn't know me back then, because I was not walking with the Lord for a number of years. I knew he called me when I was 10, without question. And I thought, well, I observed things. My father was in ministry. My grandfather was in ministry. And I watched that whole scene. I thought, you know what? I actually am not interested. So you have the wrong guy. And if I could go far enough the opposite direction, maybe he would forget about me and pick somebody else. Turns out it doesn't work that way. And he drew me back. But there's a lot of hard things in my heart I had to get rid of and had to be transformed. And so I am not at all coming to you today to insult or injure or intentionally provoke you. I have no interest in offending any person. But I am simply not afraid. If you get offended by the truth, then embrace it. Just embrace it. That's not my goal. That's not the goal at all. But sometimes the truth actually offends what we already believe. And sometimes we believe crazy things that the Lord actually wants to tear down and get rid of so that he can replace it with the truth. I'm not looking to get into crazy doctrinal things and upset your whole boat. I actually very much want to support and build up what God is doing in this house. So all those things aside, just know that whatever comes today, I am for you and I want to see you win. That's truly my heart. I just feel a beautiful freedom here because there are men in this room. The ladies are awesome too, but sometimes it is good to get together as men and build each other up. Because men can handle things sometimes that women are not as... Typically, women are more emotionally aware and sensitive and all those things, and so you have to kind of package what you say more graciously. So do I have your permission today to just take the gloves off and we're going to go swinging at some stuff? Is that going to be okay with you?
Go for it.
Because I don't want to waste your time and I don't want to waste mine. Traveling is kind of a hassle, and so the drama that it takes to get here, I want it to be worth your time and mine. Can we pray before we get going? Jesus, I say thank you right now in this moment for every good thing that you've done in all of our lives. Glory to your name for every testimony of your goodness and how you move continually, how you heal, how you bring life, how you bring strength, how you are not afraid of our weakness, how you're not afraid to walk with us through seasons when we're struggling and down, knowing that the outcome is secured by you and your finished work alone. And today, God, I just speak over this house a confidence in your finished work, a confidence knowing that our future is so bright and so secure, and we are aware it has nothing to do with our capacity or ability. It is all because of you. And so I invite you, Holy Spirit, today, to reveal to us truths, maybe that we understand in part, and bring us greater truth that any any point in our life, anything that is not subjected to your truth, that we would surrender those things and that we will walk saturated in your truth. I pray the things of heaven that you want to deposit in our hearts today, God, that you will have the open door and freely give us today our daily bread. I'm not asking for tomorrow's. I ask you for today's bread. The portion of you, Jesus, that we need today, I invite you to distribute. And we receive your presence. We say thank you. Amen. Out of the gate, the emphasis or the passage that we're looking at, is coming out of Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, I'll read through the first 10 or 11 verses, and then we'll begin. It says this: "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman.'" Our civilizations today are slightly different than what they were back when this was written. A lot of the cities over in the old country around Israel and that region were all walled and gated, multiple gates. You don't just waltz into a city. You had to get through three sets of gates, typically, to get into the city. And there was a lot more conquering and enemies that would show up, and there was a whole lot of warfare continually happening. And as a city was being built, you could know that the neighboring country was not impressed, and they had plans to come and destroy that and take it over. Nobody wanted to be subjected to anyone, and so there was a lot of interaction and warfare and things happening. And so when a city would take one of their own and they would say, "You are going to be the guy, you watch, we're going to be building and doing things, commerce in our lives and businesses, you watch for us, you are the guy." Listen to this, sounds like, well, that's great, I'll just be the watchman. It's not hard at all, I'll just sit here on my... What did they have? They didn't have nice, soft chairs like we do. "Sit on this rock, and I'll watch this city." What a great job. It's not quite as great if we read kind of the description. "When he sees the sword coming up on the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." God takes very seriously the job of the watchman. So much so that he requires an account of another man's blood if the watchman does not do his job. "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." "Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Have you ever been in a situation where you have felt strongly an unction of the Holy Spirit? And you were supposed to go and just deliver a word to someone, or do a thing for someone, or interact with a very uncomfortable situation, and you look at those situations, and it's easy to go, you know, I would like to, but I got people waiting over here, and I can't mess with their schedule. I'm on the clock. We got to go. And we miss our assignment. And we try to wash our hands with a guilty conscience on the way down the road going, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I should have probably done that, but I know you have other people. And so just send someone and yeah, I'm sure you've got it all covered. And our conscience is, there's turmoil in there. And you know that you missed your assignment. Yes. And you feel rotten. You're like, And then the Lord starts to reveal to you some of the things that would take place in this person's life if you were obedient or if you are not. And there's a tension in your soul. Has that happened to anybody? Sometimes I get things right-ish, and sometimes I just miss it, and I hate it so bad when I miss it. Years ago, I was working in Napanee, a little town south of us, and for whatever deal, usually we have everything we need on our trucks. We're out on the work site. Whatever the situation was, I had to go to the gas station, get some gas for one of the something. And so I go to this place, dumpy little, there's nice gas stations, there's Buc-ee's in the world. You're like, yes, Lord, somebody has a brain and a vision and they built this awesome place and they have clean restrooms. Glory to God. And there's somebody always in there cleaning. That man has to be a Christian. Whoever thought of Buc-ee's has to be hearing from the Lord. No dimwit, no small-minded person thinks that way. So there are those kind, and then there are this kind, and the kind that you walk in and you hear the quack, 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 quack. It's just disgusting. Everything about it is gross. It was that kind, but it was the only one there, so I went in and had to do this thing. And there's this one girl working at the register, and I did not have time to monkey around. I was getting fuel or whatever it was out there, and I tried to get the receipt and the whatever, and it would not work at the pump, of course. Junk, old station. So I'm like, good night. I don't have time for this. So I have to go inside to make the transaction. And I'm in there, and the Lord speaks to me, tell her this. I thought, we are pressed for time, and I got to go. And it got stronger. And I knew in that moment that girl was going to end her life. I thought, well, if I open this can, she could have a meltdown, and then what do I do? There's only her working in here, and I could mess up a lot of things, and I don't want this hassle in my life right now. And boy, the conviction of the Lord got on me, said, if you do not do this, she's going to end her life. I thought, now how pathetically selfish of me to think that I am so busy with this important thing that actually doesn't even matter in the grand scheme of things, that I can't take a few minutes and speak some life to this distressed young lady. I actually was at the door leaving. I was almost out the door, and it got stronger, and I stopped, and I thought, oh, man. And I went back to the counter, and I just looked at her, and I said, can I tell you a few things? And I began to speak to her, her value, and that she is loved. And the only reason I stopped is because the Lord told me, and I began to relay some of the things He gave me for her. And the entire environment in that place changed. I don't know that young lady. I haven't been back. I don't know what happened to her. But I left there with my conscience completely relieved. Something changed at that counter. She was a mess. No other customers showed up. It was awesome. It's almost like the Lord planned the whole event. And I don't have to worry about people standing in line getting annoyed with me. It was obviously from the Lord. I believe that young lady I will see in heaven. I believe so. I don't know, but I... Why would God bother me in what I'm doing and stop me and create all of this stuff if it was not important, if it was not one that he had paid for and he wanted her to know that? And how we see these things as such inconvenience. And these things, when you actually respond and you obey and you leave that setting, there is a clear conscience. And you know you have just fulfilled your assignment for the moment. Verse 10, therefore you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgression and our sins lie upon us and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? That question, I believe, remains for all of creation. Why should you die? What glory is there in a life that is destroyed? God has no pleasure in any of that. It's easy to look through the Old Testament, and there's some things I want to get into today, maybe if the Lord takes us there, about how there is a deconstruction, there is a tearing down and a breaking down of Scripture in today's culture that actually paints God as the monster instead of a loving God. It's a terrible, disgraceful thing that's going on and happening, and it is so perverted. And some of the things that I share today, I don't know, I don't want to get down rabbit holes into crazy things, but I do want to expose some of the things that I believe are important for us to be aware of so that we don't get caught up in crazy things. Can we go there? A few of the things that are on me to share. You might wildly disagree with me. I want you to know that no matter what, at the end of this day, I love you. And everybody that dies and goes to heaven dies with some incorrect theology. There's one that left this earth that had it all right, and everybody else had some missing understanding or bent understanding. As much as I believe that I know the truth and I want to seek the truth and walk with the Lord and be saturated with the truth, I'm aware that I have not lived a long enough life to experience the fullness of the truth of God. It goes on forever and ever. And I will die at some point and leave this body, and I will not have a full grasp on what is really the fullness of truth. So you and I can walk from two different directions toward the same thing and see something different, and we can both have elements of truth and both be somewhat right and both be missing something. So I'm not here to try to prove to you my point or anything like that, unless you're wrong. I would agree with you unless you're wrong, and then we would both be wrong, so I will try to not. Some of you, by the end of today, hopefully will understand that sometimes I say things only for the sake of hearing my crazy voice say crazy things, and it's funny to me. As a watchman, what in the world does that mean? A watchman has so many different... There are assignments to every individual. And as men, I want to honor the white hair in this building. I walked in and I started looking. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. Old guys used to intimidate me big time because they know things. They know a lot more just physical information, knowledge. They're wiser. They've been around longer. And as a young guy, I've thought, well, this is not good. These old guys know a lot. How am I ever supposed to convey or relay something and encourage older men? How am I supposed to teach Reuben anything? How do I teach Stephen? This is a crazy assignment. And the Lord finally dealt with me and said, you have to get over yourself and just give them what I give you. But I recognize you older guys have lived more life than us young ones. You've seen more things than we have seen. You've experienced more life experience. You've known the Lord probably longer than I have.
And there are things of depth that you carry and know that are beyond me. And I just want to honor you. The fact that you're here is so encouraging to me. Not for my sake. It is encouraging for me to see that you are willing to continue investing in yourself and investing in the kingdom. You could be out at Bobby Jones today. You could be anywhere else doing fun things. And you are here. Young men, trying to make a living, trying to pay the bills, trying to feed your kids or whatever that looks like. It's hard staying alive. It's hard paying for everything. It's difficult. You could be out making an extra buck today. I honor you for being here. What you don't realize fully is that what you're investing in your life today will pay dividends repeatedly forever. If you get a hold of the truth, it will pay dividends repeatedly forever. Dollars are cheap. That, like, they come and they go. And boy, do they know how to go. They just go. It's like, well, that's temporary. But the truth of the word remains forever. And I hope that you're getting something today that will so grab your awareness that you will be dialed into the importance of your assignment as a watchman. What are you responsible for, and what are you in charge of, and what is your assignment? This church, this community of believers, is not my problem. It's not. The Lord did not assign me to lead this house. That's a big relief, because some of you need some help. You're not my problem. Your home, your wife and your kids, those are not my problem. Your work, your crazy co-workers and whatever drama is going on there, that is not my problem. I can easily release myself and excuse myself from your situations. But what I can't escape from is my realm of jurisdiction. The authority God gave me and the dominion God gave me and called me to, I cannot escape from. And one of the things that has been detrimental to our society is people trying to escape from their assigned dominion. And the fact that you're here tells me you're willing to step up and take your responsibility and your role as a watchman in your dominion seriously. Now, there are extremes to these things, and maybe I'll bounce around, just stay with the Lord on this. There are extremes to things. There are people who so shudder at the idea of authority, and they want to run and escape from it because they've not seen it modeled well at home. They've not seen it modeled well in church. They've not seen it. We've gone through some terrible things, and today in our society, there are so many triggered people, so many fragile people. We need to go find some therapist somewhere because somebody did me wrong or said something that triggered me again. I have that little thing that every time somebody touches that button, it hurts again and again and again. And our society today is the most therapeutically treated and the most catered to and the most soft, pathetic generation that I believe has been on the face of this. It is pathetic. I know grown people, my age and older. Help me, Jesus. I don't want to belittle anybody, but I want to call out the stupidity, and maybe we will find some life in the process. I know people well that as growing up as children, I grew up in the same environment in the church, okay? It was a very conservative Mennonite church, and thus says the bishop, thou shalt absolutely wear this kind of clothes to our meetings, and thou shalt do this, and your hair had better not be longer than so long. And I mean, the list goes on and on. It is, you walk the line, or we will help you walk it. And it's not nice at all. I think the system is so flawed, and it created a real rebellion in me for years, until I found out, you know what, it's simply religion and control that these people have fallen into, and whatever, let them go. But the Lord had to heal that in me. And now I watch this guy who is, I'm 47, he's like 62. I expect him to be further ahead in life than me because he has lived longer. He's had more time and he should be more advanced than me. And here, he and his wife both come from this setting and they will sit and boo-hoo and diagnose and work through all of, continually working through the same hurts over and over and over again and not ever coming to some resolution that says, you know what? God has touched me and healed me. I can't go back 58 years and change a thing. Those things done to me, yes, they were wrong. May God forgive them. And now let's move on and let's do something in our life. It is this dragging through the muck over and over. And they both each have their own therapist and their own little thing. And I'm like, for crying out loud, all this money and time that you are wasting, why don't you pay me half? And in 10 minutes, I think I can get you straight. Just hear some truth. Pow, grow up. Just accept the fact that people are going to do you wrong. They're going to say bad, rotten things to you. They're going to tear you down and hurt you. They're going to actually cheat you. They're going to do things that violate you. And at some point, there has to be a measure of forgiveness released in the life of every believer. If you're going to walk in any measurable authority, you have to come to terms with your past and release those things. Because if you don't, you are bound to repeat them at some measure. And you're going to be doing the same thing that you hated so badly. It takes releasing. Sure, I'm not sweeping anything under the rug. If something's wrong, it's wrong. And we need to call it out and address it. Yes. And I believe a part of the reason that the church in general, and listen, if it sounds like I'm hard on the church today, sometimes I am, but the church is the greatest thing that's on the earth, so I love the church like crazy, and we need to build her up, not tear her down. But when I see things that are broken, I think it is essential, especially for us as men, to recognize what is broken and then fix it. Or get into agreement with allowing God to fix it, but not stand in the way and not just pretend it isn't real and just say it hasn't happened and it's not. I'm not for those crazy things. We have to address what is true and then look at what is a greater truth. Two things can be true at the same time and not be the same. There can be a greater truth. The truth is, people hurt us. You know, it's a greater truth. Jesus is the healer. And if you bring him this brokenness, he not only can heal you, he can empower you so that you don't recommit those atrocities to somebody else. He can release you from that, and he can put us in a place of grace, which the primary definition of grace is power. So he can empower you to not fall into the same things that were done to you, to empower you to increase and go forward and lead other people in your dominion to a greater place of deliverance and of discovery of who he is. It is not only to tickle our insides and feel good about ourselves. It is actually so that we become effective messengers of his kingdom in our domain. People have become so satisfied. We are settlers in the church. By nature, we get lazy and we settle. And we come to Jesus oftentimes through a partially true message, a message that is good, and it sounds and smells nice, so we agree with it, and it's something like Jesus loves you so much, and all you have to do is just pray and say, Jesus, I repent, and I give myself to you, and now your life is awesome. Well, there's some truth in leading up to that, but I think we've been doing people wrong by not telling them that life here is not awesome. It's hard. It's hard. Now, are you wanting to do life hard by yourself and try to muck it through and figure it out and be the strong guy and all that? Because I assure you at some point you're going to have a meltdown or a breakdown or some encounter where you find that you are actually not enough to deal with life. It's hard. You going to do that by yourself? I think we need to take people deeper into the reality that the word also says, in this world, you will have trouble. But what? But be of good cheer. Take heart. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In John, I think it is, You would think a pastor would have the scripture all memorized. This one doesn't. I know what it says, but I can't tell you the number. It says something like this. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God is an overcomer. Is that right, Reuben? Am I getting that close? Very close. He who believes Jesus is the Son of God is an overcomer. What does that mean? An overcomer. If I'm an overcomer, why am I faced with things that seem impossible to overcome? Why is it there are situations and people that are completely impossible, and it feels like there is no overcoming? It feels, in fact, like I may be drowning at times, and the path forward looks impossible. They blew up the bridge, and there's no way to get there. Have any of you walked this stuff in seasons of life, and you've had wonderings and questions? Be honest with me. It's not always extra gravy in life. It's hard. When you have the far extreme hiding from their responsibility and not taking their dominion seriously and acting like children, satisfying their own wants and desires without caring about anything else. Full-grown adults acting like children, only looking after themselves. You have that extreme, and then you have the vigilantes who think that God has assigned all authority to them. All authority is mine. Including you and you and you, all of you are subject to me. That is the mentality, that is the vibe that you get from some people, and they want to strut into your life and start calling shots, bam, 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 and you're wrong here and here. Everybody's wrong. You are for sure wrong, and you and you and you, everybody's wrong. And they want to dominate and control the entire world. There are extremes with dominion. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but I want to make a few things pretty clear to an elementary level, and that is I and you. None of us are in charge of the whole world. None of us are going to fix the whole world. None of us have been assigned to have dominion over the whole world. Break it down further. I think the country of France is on fire. I think that they could really benefit from some good leadership. Their president needs some therapy, first of all. There's something, the guy ain't right. There's things that are, the screws are loose. There's things that are out of order. And so why don't I pick up the phone and call his monkey little tail and say, look, get your stuff in order because this and this and this is wrong and this is what we're going to do. Well, you see, I don't have his number and I also don't have the authority. I don't have that assignment. I don't have that dominion. That is his problem. I could call the mayor of Sarasota and say, listen, your traffic lights are stupid, okay? And I would be right about that. You get your guys out here and you get these things programmed much more efficiently. I'm not an analyst or an expert, but just by observation, I can tell you this is a joke. You guys, and I could do that. And two problems. I don't have his number. And the other one is a bigger problem. I don't have the authority. It's not in my dominion. It's not my problem. I'm affected by it, but it's not my problem. Have you noticed that it is much more appealing to find the problems in areas that are not our dominion? Isn't it way more fun? To me it is. I am good at finding problems. Just observe. Bam, well that's messed up. That's broken. This could be better. Look at the traffic flow on some of these roads.
I could fix so many things if they just let me do it.
And it's easy to sit from the bleachers and call the shots on the field. When the dude in the bleachers, he won't get up at 4:30 and run his 12 miles. He's not interested in 1,000 push-ups. He's not interested in months and months of intense training. For one little moment on the field, he's not willing to put in that kind of work. So he sits here with his foot-long roller dog stuffed in his face and a huge frothy beer, and he's shouting orders at people. And it's like, you, take a look at yourself. You jumbo-sized, non-functional person, what are you doing? Is this too much?
No.
Today I'm going to vent to some men. That stuff is so prevalent. The sideline experts. And they will shout their things, and they will condemn, and they will give orders, and they rah, rah, rah. And at the end of all the racket and the noise, these guys that have trained, that are doing their thing, they will do what they've been trained to do, regardless of your mouth or whatever's in it. Our natural gravity is to avoid finding the problems in our domain. We avoid that like crazy. Why? Because it usually reveals a weakness or a lack or a brokenness or a hurt or a something isn't right here. And I don't enjoy visiting that. Does anybody here just love looking at your weakness? Like, man, I am terrible and this is really great. I just want to see how messed up I am. Oh, thank you, Lord. There's another weakness. I don't like that. And it's way more fun to look at somebody else's mess and shout orders that have nothing to do with me than it is to get quiet with the Lord and say, what is it in my life that you would say needs to be strengthened or improved or gotten rid of? Like, what do you think? It's hard because you have to be still and pay attention and be humble. Humility is not part of the American dream. It's not something really promoted in society. It's American pride. Pride Month. I have many things I could say about that nonsense. I wonder if we shouldn't have Humility Month or Humility Lifestyle. Not weakness lifestyle, humility lifestyle. The kind that recognizes, I don't have it all. I won't ever be all that. God didn't assign me to control the whole universe. That is His job. But what He did assign me to is to lead my own life. That's a full-time job, guys. Lead your own life. Some of us can be real knuckleheads, and we just do dumb things. And we make excuses because, well, you don't know my past. You don't know this. Blah, blah, blah. You don't know my past. I enjoyed alcohol when I was a kid, way before you're supposed to be drinking. I had a lot of pain in my life, and I found that heavy metal and alcohol would make you forget the stupid people that were causing all of the pain in your life, and you could just kind of escape for just a little bit. It obviously doesn't work. It's not a long-term solution. You spend a lot of time and money, and you feel like a broken loser when you get back right again in the head. Is this too much? It just doesn't work. I wasn't willing to look at my own condition and say, you know what? Present yourself to the Lord and repent. Get your own stuff right, and then you don't have to live in that pain. I was looking outside, trying to avoid all my own pain and my own fears and the things that drive us outside of being in that place. We want to avoid that. Because over here in my realm of dominion, where God has assigned me, He not only wants to heal and fix and all the things in me personally, but He is giving me instruction and in wanting to increase my dominion. But if I step outside of my dominion and try to meddle in and advance myself in places that are not my assignment, I will become highly frustrated and ineffective. And you know what happens when you get a lot of highly frustrated and ineffective people together? It has some kind of effect like nuclear reaction. And then the wrong guy says the wrong thing, and boom. These hurt, fragile, frustrated, and crazy people who are all avoiding their own condition now find themselves scattered and exploded, and they're just devastated and confused, and now they need more therapy. I'm telling you the truth. This is how it works with people. I'm not exempt from that. I am as much in need of being in this place as you or anybody else. When those things happen, now we have programs. Sign up for our 12 weeks of inner healing from church hurt. If you've ever had a pastor tell you no, if you've ever been all this drama, one day I'm going to preach a message on a reverse view of church hurt. It's going to be about pastoral abuse in reverse. Do you know how mean people are to pastors? If you've never been one and walked in that, you don't know. But when they come to you with their finger and they're shouting and they're yelling at you and accusing you of things, and when they're trying to destroy your name and reputation, and all that you have ever done is open your doors and spent your own blood, sweat, tears, and money to provide a place for people to come and worship, and you didn't do it quite right for them, and they want to destroy you, there's church hurt, all right. And it's something you're not allowed. You can't preach this in this house. I mean, you can if you want to. But what I'm saying is, if you preach it in your own house, well, they will crucify you. The crazy ones, not the good ones, the weirdos. They will come at you and try to devour you. But it's a real thing. This was not at all in my thoughts yesterday, but I'll say it because it's here now. At 5 years of ministry, these are national statistics. They're not my numbers. Ministers that get into ministry, within 5 years, 50% of them have walked away for good. At 10 years, 80% have walked away for good. That's not a good number. And then the church wants to sit back and say, oh, that's the pastor's problem. These people have issues. Nathan, go get them. We support you. They're a mess. Go get them. Here's $20. Go get them. It's going to take you 3 weeks to fix them, but 20 ought to cover it. Fix them. We relinquish our responsibility and we assign it to the pastor because I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to get into a situation that is yuck and that's going to probably be demanding of my life, and I might have to make somebody's rent payment for them, and I don't want that pressure and I don't need that in my life. So, Pastor, you get them. Boom. That's why you're here. And we assign things that we are called to somebody else. And we feel justified in it because, after all, he's the pastor. Is this okay? I didn't ask for any permission for this. I'm just telling you the truth. This is how people work sometimes. And instead of living in your dominion as a man of God and saying, you know what, I'm going to encounter things that are gross. I'm going to encounter things that are broken. I'm going to run into people that are messed up. And what does that mean? If they enter into my sphere of dominion, who is in authority of my sphere? I am. I'm supposed to be. I've been called by God to walk in authority and to have dominion in a sphere of influence. The extremes are either neglect or we want to run the whole world. Instead of being content to walk with God in the capacity He's called us to. You know what happens when you do that faithfully for a while? All of a sudden the boundaries change. Now you have some kids, or you get married first, hopefully. Hello, get it right. You get married. Now you have this other person that you're trying to hopefully not control and put under your dominion. But God has assigned you as a man that you are in authority here on the earth and to lead your partner well. And what happens when men do not lead well is women oftentimes will take it upon themselves to fill that gap. You know what's aggravating to many men is they find their wives doing things and functioning in ways that they should be doing and functioning, and it makes you feel inadequate and weak and frustrated. There are many different flavors of this scenario I'm going to give you, so it's not one size fits all. This is one scenario. If a wife is trying to make up the gap for her husband's weakness, she has some ability to do some things, but she is not called and she's not designed to be a man doing man things. So she's going to find herself unable to fulfill and do everything that you are supposed to fulfill and do. Now she is frustrated. And more than likely, if she's a normal human, you will find the barrels are directed at you and the bullets will come flying. And now there's warfare in your own domain. And not everything is good. Now it's very quiet. Couple that with a society that has been pushing women to the top for years. Couple dysfunction and stress and angst in your home with the fact that for years we've been marketed to watch the ads on TV. They have been making men look like the biggest idiots for years. It grinds me. Some insurance stupid ad will come on and it's like some guy, he just can't figure it out. And along comes his wife. Oh, I've already done that. I've saved 15%. Boom, boom, it's 2 minutes and we're done. And here's this dumb guy, doesn't have a brain. He's just a big blob of a dude. And his beautiful, smart, intelligent wife handles all the things. She is far more intelligent than the dumb man. You know when I see those ads? I make myself a foundational. I pour concrete in my mind and I say, you know what? I will never buy your product. Men are not stupid. We're not backseat. We are not losers. By choice, many are, but that is not our nature. That's not how God designed us. We are meant to lead and to be strong and to take care of business. And this whole pressure from culture has crept in and created this upside down narrative. And bless the Lord for creating women. They belong in our lives. They belong and they have as much value as we do. But our assignments and our roles are different. And when we get this thing out of balance and on its head, the way the world tries to portray that into the church, things are upside down. And then there's chaos. And it's easier again to escape that mess and be like, you know what, that's a disaster. I'm not dealing with that. I'm going to come over here and fix the problems over in France again. I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to tell the world what's really going on. And here's my hot take on this subject. This is why this leader needs to be taken down. Bam. We avoid our own problems and try to fix those that we are not assigned to fix. Then along come some kids. Do you ever notice people without kids know a lot more about raising them than parents? These little things come, and they are so precious. And your heart just melts for them. And as a father, I held my little baby boy. And I was like, what have you done? Now, here is a brand new person that doesn't know anything. And as long as the world keeps spinning, this kid's going to grow into something. He's going to be somebody. And that scared me. Because I recognized I have a tremendous responsibility for this little person. That reality never occurred to me before. When I was young and single, running around, even getting married, it's like, yeah, well, one day we'll have kids. But now you're holding this little guy, and this awareness flooded my soul, and I was very aware. And now you're trying to parent against the push of culture. You're trying to instill values and doctrinal things and habits and patterns of living that are solid, that down the road, once, if the world goes as it normally does, I'm going to croak and they're going to remain. I hope it's that way first. I don't want them to go first. I want to go first. I want them to be highly productive, valuable people in the kingdom that to just glow with the presence of God. That's what I want for them. And when you're trying to parent against the current tide of culture, it's hard. I'll just tell you, it's hard. You're always having to push back against what's trying to get in your door. There's always this push and this fight. The enemy is always creating new tactics to get inside and to destroy what is supposed to be solid and good. There is a reason we are assigned as watchmen over our homes. We struggle so many times to even be watchmen for our own lives. And do you know one of the... I'm getting ahead of myself. We are to be watchmen over our own lives. What does the word say? Taking every thought captive. Are you doing that? I'll just tell you, I am not. I should be, because I believe it. It's in the word. Taking every thought. How many thoughts do you have? If you don't have many thoughts, it's a lot easier to do. But when you have a lot of thoughts, that's a full-time job. How in the world? I have thoughts run through this brain that I would be mortified if they ever made it onto the screen. It's like, that is not from God. I'm just telling you, our minds are some amazing things. I'm just telling you the truth. Taking every thought captive, can't even get that right. How are you supposed to be a watchman over your own vessel and your own life if we can't even get that right? I propose to you, it was a lot easier getting that right if you were Moses. You know why? Because Moses did not have fiber optic internet. He didn't have 5G. He didn't have a landline. He had no fax machine. He had no record player. He had some rocks. You know, he still had some other thoughts. I mean, he went through some stuff. I'm not diminishing that. I'm saying I don't believe we as humans were designed to live under the intense influence of constant media. What is the word? I want the word right here. Bombardment with what? With, yes, but there is a word. It's about promotion. And advertise marketing. Thank you. How hard is that word? Marketing. Do you think Moses was marketed to 24/7? What would you buy if you're, oh, no, I like that rock. Okay, I'll trade you. The next day, there's nothing. Nobody shows up. You're just, there you are with your, there you are. It's hard as men because there have been crafty people who have blessed you, who have gotten into nefarious things. They have studied the human psyche. They have watched our steps and listened to our words, and they have analyzed every pattern of our life, and they have developed things to further help them market. When I was 20, none of this existed. Smartphones didn't exist. I remember when the bag phone came out. Bless you again. I'm going to sound like an old, stiff-necked preacher for a minute. That's not who I am. I just want you to know. I know how dumb I'm going to sound. I remember we had vinyl records and a record player when I was a kid. That was the thing. That was what you had. 8 tracks were just before that, and we had that tube. That was a little, I was a little bit young, but I do remember them. And then records, and then the smaller little records, and then the CD. And they were saying the end of the world is any day now because, I mean, this is wild. Then some crazy person thought it would be great to talk on the phone, not connected to a wire. And people like, that will never happen. Well, it seems like it happened. And they had this big bag phone. You unzip it, flip the antenna up, big old thing, boom, boom, boom. And then it was 65 cents a minute for every minute that it was connected, plus so much a month. And you do not touch that phone. That is only for emergencies. Then they came out with the little flip phone. As that happened, the Lord showed me this device. And he told me one day, you are going to have a computer in your hand. You will do your banking. You will do your interacting. There will be all kinds of functions happening from a device in your hand. And I released that to people who laughed at me and told me, I am an idiot. That will never happen. And that offended me. I thought, how dumb are you? How can you not know this? I didn't realize the Lord just hadn't showed it to him. He showed it to me. I don't know why, but here it is. Exactly as he showed it to me. What I didn't realize, I'm not saying that to say I'm right. I'm saying that to say I have seen a tremendous amount of development and advancement. And when I had a flip phone with no data, I wasn't getting ads. I remembered numbers in my head, and I could use it and call people. Great tool. Now, I remember a handful of numbers. The rest is all automated. Do you know that the word talks about monitoring spirits, familiar spirits? Do you know that there are databases that know what time you wake up, how long you take to get your coffee, where in the house you move, how long you are in the bathroom, where you will drive, what time you'll get to work, what you will have for lunch, what time you will go home? The entire cycle of your life is being monitored. Demons have been doing that before devices. Now we have devices feeding information into what is the big rage right now with the next big wave? It's data centers. The whole world's on fire about. Why do you need so much data storage and processing? We didn't need it 20 years ago. Why do you need it now? I think a little differently than some people, so if this gets boring or out of touch to you, I apologize. But if you read in the book of Daniel, it says in the last days, knowledge will increase. It does not say wisdom, it says knowledge. There's a big difference. It seems like wisdom has been on the decline for quite a few years, but knowledge has been on an increase. I watched us go from analog only into a digital world, what, 1980-something? And it was so cool. Digital is the way to go. And all of a sudden, we are on an unsustainable curve of increase, and they have been developing. Every so many hours, there is a duplicating and a doubling of information. None of what I say today do I want you to take and get afraid or get into fear. None. That is not the point. I think we need to be aware of what's happening. I think we need to know factually what is happening. Can I go way off the script? Good, I didn't have one to begin with. I'll just tell you, as a man, we face pressures in our day that Abraham did not face. We have to make decisions and do things that our forefathers and ancestors, all the way back into the patriarchs in Scripture, those guys did not have to face. We read the Old Testament and we're like, wow, you guys are awesome. And we applaud them and we give thanks to God for having those documented stories for us to get back to and say, this man's faith brought him through this situation. And we only see a little snippet of their life. We don't get the whole story. But you know what's a truth that is just as strong as that? Is that your life and my life is being monitored and watched. Not only by spirits, we are being watched right now by heaven. And the old guys, Abraham, these old guys, they're not old anymore. They're watching your life, and they're watching you be faced with things that they were never faced with. And they are applauding you. They are behind you. They are shouting in agreement with the Word of God over your life as they watch you be faced with things and muck through it and overcome, because they know the things they've had to walk through, and it was hard. But it was not at all. We have a different set of problems today. But it is the same enemy. It's the same tactic. It's just so much busier today. There is so much more information transfer today. Some of it is good. A lot of it is trash. If you're not being marketed to, you're not thinking about, you're not aware that there is an exotic chocolate bar made with dates that you needed in your life. I didn't know I needed that. And it popped up. And I was like, I think I need that. And I bought some. And they taste like crap. They're terrible. Get milk chocolate and just enjoy that. If you're going to have chocolate, that dark stuff is not from the Lord. It's disgusting. So I didn't know I needed those until it popped up. And it cost me minutes and dollars to get something that I gave to somebody else who was weird enough to like that stuff. I said, have it, enjoy it, it's disgusting. I came across this yesterday or 2 days ago. They did another study. I'm not big into stats and studies, but I did this. I just came across it, probably doom scrolling. And it says that the average American today spends 5 hours, 19 minutes per day on their phone. 5 hours and 19 minutes is the average. If you spend 1 hour, that means somebody else has the extra four. How productive do you think we could be as a nation if we had countless millions of hours every day that we were doing something for the kingdom? 5 hours and 19 minutes. How much more should I be pumping into my kids and leading my wife and doing things in my own realm of dominion that could be positively benefiting now, right now, my family and the kingdom around me and the next generation? 5 hours and 19 minutes every single day. That's thousands of hours every year. of doing absolutely nothing. And not only at a zero value, most of the time the things that are being done are a detriment to your soul. Because they've been watching you, they know your tendencies and your weaknesses. And they know exactly what time of day to turn on these ads and shut these off. There are algorithms that know you better than you know yourself. And if you are not constantly aware, you will find yourself setting your foot into a trap set to take you out. I am not some anti-technology, old, sweaty preacher who's trying to beat on your pulpit and tell you you need to repent and throw your phones in the trash. You're not going to hear that from this guy. What I will tell you is that is the beginning. What we have experienced in our generation is the beginning. One day I will feel at more liberty to get into some more things around all that. But have you stopped ever and asked yourself deep, honest questions? What did Jesus mean when he looked right at the people in front of him and he said, "You bunch of hypocrites, you look at the sky and you can tell if it's going to be rainy or nice today. And you don't know who is standing right in front of you. You don't know the visitation that is here right now. How is it that you can know those things and miss what is happening?" They didn't have the distraction of phones, did they? They didn't have the distraction of so many other crazy things going on with media constantly influencing and bringing information to sort through. They didn't have that. They still missed it. What makes us think that we can dive into and live in the stream of constant information and not be influenced by it? If we had any idea how much propaganda is being funneled into mainstream news, you would shut that trash off, plug your ears, wash them with vinegar or acid or something, and ask the Lord to cleanse your mind. Propaganda. It's in society for sure. It's in the global landscape right now. You can go down any rabbit hole of your choosing right now. And did you notice that the reels and the ads and the things that come to you are hand-picked for your opinion?
Yes.
They are hand-picked for you. They monitor your reactions and your responses, whether or not you hit it into your keypad. They know what gets your blood pressure elevated a little bit. They know how to lead the masses with these little devices. It is really fascinating to watch what's happening. It's aggravating to me, but it's fascinating. I've been in many other countries, and several of them are very impoverished. I've been in Haiti numerous times. I've been in Uganda, other places of Africa, and, well, even whatever, many places. You know what I noticed? Everybody has a smartphone. You have used dilapidated Crocs that you got for out of the dump, and your clothes are terrible, and you have a new smartphone. And you're trading a clump of bananas. And you have a smartphone. How are you paying for this thing? And so I asked questions, not to the people directly, but I asked the guy, I said, explain to me, in my country, that phone costs $1,200, $1,300, and it's like 70 bucks a month or something crazy. And this guy has old Crocs and a clump of bananas. Make this make sense to me, because it doesn't, mathematically, it doesn't work for me. He said, "Oh yeah, if you can provide about $5 for an entire year, you get the phone and all the data and usage that you want for $5.
Now it started making some sense. Now it starts soaking in. How is it that every person that they can possibly get one of these devices into their hands is somehow magically covered? Well, I can tell you, I felt a lot more angry the next time I went to pay my bill. It's like, you hot dogs, you want how many $100 out of me for these dumb things? And these guys over here are paying $5 a year. Now it makes sense. How, as a kid, I would read Revelation and these things, and I'd be like, how are you ever going to convince the entire world to be subject to a system that people will actually agree to? How will you do that? You have language barriers, you have cultural differences, you have all of these different things. It seemed impossible. And now I see this and I go, that is exactly how it's done. You can overcome language barrier. You can overcome the differences in status. There are people, this was kind of funny to me too, but it just shows the condition of humanity. There are people with multiple phones, one in each pocket, and they're not even active sometimes. It's just you can get one out, you can act like you're doing something because everybody's watching, doo-doo-doo, and you get your other one out, and you're really doing things. It's all a front. How are people so addicted to being socially accepted and looked up to and admired? Like, oh, now this guy really has it going on. Look at him go. And people will feed, they will do anything to get that kind of attention and affirmation. And the trends that are put out there through TikTok and these crazy avenues that people simply ingest over and over and over. And even if you don't agree with it, what you're watching, even if you don't embrace that for yourself, what happens slowly is a degrading of your own principles. Yes. There is an undermining as water washes sand out from underneath your foundation. Just a little bit. You don't think you're believing it. You're like, even inside, you're like, okay, that's gross. That's wrong. That's no. But over and over, 5 hours and 19 minutes of the day, you are being warred against and undermined with the intention of breaking down your morals, your faith, the structure of your life. It is a destructuring event taking place right now. When order is fought against, when authority is fought against, when anything that is right is fought against, this is not an accident. This is actually warfare. And if we don't recognize it, we get so bloomin' lazy. I'll tell you, we get lazy. I get lazy because I work my butt off. And when I get done with that and you sit down, I don't want to hear your problems. I don't want to fix anything. I'll guarantee you one thing. I don't even want to hear that I have problems. And I don't want to fix those. I want to go into neutral. And I want to satisfy something in my brain that needs to be humored. Humor me with something. Because I'm tired. I'm tired. Through that one excuse, we open the door to our own detriment. When you are isolated and you are tired, you are in about your worst condition. As a man, as a gatekeeper, as a watchman, you are in your worst condition. When you're tired, you're not sharp. When you're alone, you are usually not as sharp as you should be. God have mercy. Is it lunchtime? Yeah. If you lose the vigilance of watching for your own soul, you also lose the intensity of watching over your wife and your family. And you let your guard down. You're like, you know what? I know they're watching this whatever Disney stupid trash that they're... But they're quiet right now, so just whatever. Just don't make noise right now. I'm too busy getting my 5 hours in. I don't want to deal with it.
I am not as concerned for people in my generation as I am for our children. I am very concerned for us. I'm not diminishing that, but I'm saying there is something happening that the world has never seen before. We have never lived through this experiment before. We've never been tested with these things before. We don't know the outcome of what's going to happen with these people in society who have been exposed to this kind of indoctrination and warping of the mind and deteriorating of the soul. We don't know what's going to come out of this generation. It's a wild experiment. And if I only look at it from that point in the natural, it's really a terrifying thought. Because I know some things that work. Values work. Hard work actually works. The fruit of the Spirit pouring out of your life, that actually works. Reading the Word, it actually works. Functioning in a body like this, where you are giving life to somebody, even when you yourself are tired and weak, it works. The kingdom still works. And I'm watching all of this attention and energy and all of this focus being shifted into this world of gray smear. And you shouldn't talk against it because you're just some old religious guy. You need to calm down. You're just old. I've been told things. I said, I know I sound old. I'll sometimes preface that. I'll say, what I'm about to say is going to sound really old. But it's true. And truth doesn't age out. Truth remains.
Yes, yes.
Truth is going to be here tomorrow. When the crazy things have gone, the truth will be here tomorrow. And the fire that I want to see us carry in our soul is one that what get into the Word, it says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Do you know how many, what we would look at and say, great ministers have been doing their whole life of just pouring out and building the kingdom, and then they're almost home, and you find them wiped out in the dirt. Oh, I hate to see that. It just breaks your heart. It's like, why? Why are you doing this? Why would you let down? I don't see myself as having a great following. I'm not looking to be that guy. I look at somebody like Ravi Zacharias. I loved his ability to articulate. Man, when he would go head-to-head with somebody, I was like, get him. This is awesome to have a guy that is so bright-minded and so filled with the Word. It was just amazing. And then his wipeout is made evident. And I go, why you? Why not some dud of a pastor? Why not some little dude that affects like three people? No, the big one, the one who has millions of people. The global eye is on this pinnacle moment, and this guy wipes out. Come on, man. You know why I can't be too hard on him? Because I've come to understand any time that you are in the spotlight and you are doing anything of any measurable greatness, the enemy hates all of us, but he hates that with a burning passion, and he will do anything he can because he knows our weaknesses and our habits and all of the things. And if there's a way he can trip up a man of God, he will do it. And is it more devastating to have that level catastrophe or to have it in your personal life where you think, well, I don't really matter. I'm just a nobody. Nobody even knows what's going on. Really? You're not hiding anything. I'm not saying it's always vile sin or something like that, but the eyes of the Lord are on your life continually. We say, oh, yes, he's with me and in me. We forget that he's with me and in me. Sometimes in the car, I'm admonishing some knucklehead in front of me, and I forget that the Lord is actually, yeah, like, yeah, you love that person too. I know, but right now, we see big-time failures, and we don't often consider our own life. We can throw rocks at somebody like that. But the truth is, if my life was in this kind of a display, will I be vigilant and diligent to the end? I want to end really well, and I don't know how because I've never done it. What I do know is the enemy is clever, and he is daily crafting new things to trap us as men and keep us bound in our own mind, in our own little sphere, to where we don't venture out and we do not pursue and we don't walk in the calling and the fullness that God has for us. He's constantly trying to snare you and get your heart mixed up and get it just messed up. And when you're not walking with a clear conscience, I'm not saying again it's vile sin, but when he can mess with your mind, when he can mess with you in some way, you're not walking in the fullness of your capacity. And he knows it, and he's good at it. Have you considered that you are assigned, all of us are assigned as watchmen? You're a watchman of something. The fact that you're alive and here means you are a watchman of something. It is either your own soul or your spouse, your family. It can be so many things. God assigns different realms of authority to different people, and whatever he's assigned you to, he has done it on purpose. It is your assignment. It's not just a maybe. You've been assigned to watch over your dominion. An assignment. Who's going to do it for you? We as men are the highest level of authority on the face of the earth. God put that into place. And do you think when he hands out and delegates authority, he does it just like we're throwing out frisbees to everybody? You get some, it's just everybody gets some. It's not that way. You are assigned with this authority, and when you're finished with it, I need a report of how it's been handled and managed, and I want you to show me what you've done. And if I have any measure at all of the reality of that, that I present my responsibility and how I manage the authority he's given me, when I present that to him, that should do something so deep within me that it wakes me up. It matters.
Yes,
you as men matter. You might have been told your whole life you don't. Well, that's false. You matter. Your realm of authority matters. Your decision for yourself matters. It matters today, and it matters tomorrow. It matters for people that you will never meet, because how you conduct yourself is going to influence other people that come into your sphere of influence. It's going to influence them. Not maybe. Your life and your decisions are going to influence someone else, and they will now make decisions and changes and what have you, and their life is going to influence someone else that you will never meet, and you have no idea that it was 5 minutes with the Lord and you decided. I'm going to get this one right with the Lord. I'm going to make decisions that I know agree with his purpose for this life. I'm not worrying about anybody else's stuff going on. Lord, are you pleased with what you see? And if you're not, show me how to correct it. Correct me! Those times change the world for somebody else. And those times matter. You might think you're spinning wheels, not getting anywhere. You are without question getting somewhere. You are without any doubt getting somewhere. And I know I speak to some tired hearts. I tell you, I've watched it happen over and over. I've experienced it myself. I've come through one of the most difficult seasons of my life. I didn't even know it was possible. And I know the enemy comes to beat down and wear down the saints. He does that by design, because when we're weak, we relinquish our authority to whatever happens. And we justify it because I'm tired. Don't judge me. I'm tired. You don't know what it's like. I'm tired. What a great note to go to lunch on. Isn't that wonderful? Let's get depressed and go eat. I hope you're staying for the last part of this today. I will just close with this for this segment and tell you it is not finished. We get tired.
Yes.
We get beat down.
Yes.
We get worn out. There's nobody here that is superhuman. I ran hard for years, and I thought, man, the people that burn out, what a bunch of pansies. Like, you soft people. I was living on top of the mountain with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing that can dip me down. Any instrument designed against me will not prosper. I am the fullness, blah, 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 blah. And at some point, you hit a real hard patch. You're like, ooh, where did all that good stuff go? We live through hard things, and we are overcomers. And let us not end on this note. It is a pause right now. We are overcomers. All right, whoever is doing it from here, I relinquish this time. So, who's getting